Nomini Patris et Filii Spiritus Sancti. Today's Mass is being offered for the most lost souls. The lesson for today's Mass comes from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the Christ to them. And the crowds with one accord gave heed to what was said by Philip, listening to him and seeing the miracles that he worked. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, went out of many possessed persons, and many paralytics and cripples were cured. So that there was great joy in that city. This concludes the lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, having summoned the 12 apostles, Jesus gave them power and authority over the devils to cure diseases, and he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor wallet, nor bread nor money, neither have you two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and do not receive, and those who do not receive you, go forth from that town and shake off even the dust from your feet for a witness against them." And going forth, they went about from village to village, preaching the gospel and working cures everywhere. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. You may be seated. Now today we are still within this octave of Pentecost during this time. And so that's why this Mass will have the creed that which is going after this, and why we had that beautiful sequence of the Holy Spirit, which we continue to pray just as we did on Pentecost, and as we continue to pray each and every day with that holy sequence which is there. But just in case you didn't catch it when we did it, I'll read it for you in the vernacular what that sequence was. And so we prayed just before the Gospel, "Holy Spirit, Lord of light, from your clear celestial height, thy pure beaming radiance give. Come thou, O Father of the poor, come with treasures which endure. Come thou, light of all that live. Thou of all consolers best, visiting the troubled breast, you do refreshing peace bestow. Thou who toil art comfort sweet, pleasant coolness in the heat, solace in the midst of woe. Light immortal, light divine, visit these hearts of thine, and our own inmost being you fill. If thou takest thy grace away, nothing pure in man will stay. All his good is turned to ill. Heal our wounds, O strength renew. On our dryness pour thy dew. Wash the stains of guilt away. Bend the stubborn heart and will. Melt the frozen, warm the chill. Guide the steps that go astray. Thou on those who evermore thee confess and thee adore, in thy sevenfold gifts descend. Give them comfort when they die. Give them life when with thee from on high, and give them joys which never end. Amen. Alleluia." So we are focusing during this time upon the work of the Holy Spirit, but in particular today, as a Thursday, Thursdays are always dedicated to the Eucharist and always dedicated to the priest. We are in Ember Week, the week where we do the particular fasting on Wednesday and Friday and Saturday in anticipation of God pouring out his Spirit upon those who are to be ordained. It was traditional that all priests and deacons and subdeacons, particularly those going into major orders, would receive their ordinations on the Saturday following Pentecost. Saturday following Pentecost, which is the Ember Days. These Ember Days are these four times, quattro tempora, the four times, the four seasons of the year in which we would do fasting at various times of the year in preparation for these ordinations, that God would release his Spirit and through our fasting and prayer make these souls all the more pure and holy to serve within his church. Now, it's not always done in this way, and in fact, our own diocese, we do it the week before. We do it the Saturday before, and that has actually become a custom in many places throughout the world, that those who are going to receive priesthood in particular would receive that ordination on the vigil of Pentecost itself, the day before Pentecost, rather than on the Saturday within the octave of Pentecost. And so there are those four times of Ember Days, Lenti, Penti, Luci, Cruci. So Lent, that means between the first and second week of Lent, there's the Wednesday, the Friday, and the Saturday. Those are days of Ember Days, Ember Fasting. We have Pentecost, which would be the week after Pentecost. So Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And also Luci, the Feast of St. Luci. So we probably know when that is, the 13th. So between the, I believe it's the 3rd and 4th, or maybe it's the 2nd and 3rd, I get confused. Between the 2nd and 3rd, actually, yeah, of Advent, you'd have those Ember Days, and Cruci, the Feast of the Holy Cross, which is in September 14th, around that time you'd have the 3 days of fasting as well. But I want to talk to you about none of those things today, and just in a brief bit, because today is a special day, on this particular Thursday. It's the day when the church celebrates the eternal priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the eternal high priest. And it's one of the great graces that we have here within our parish is that every time you and I walk into church, walk into Mass, when we enter into this beautiful 100-plus-year-old church, we are always faced with the image of Christ, the great high priest, on our crucifix. The crucifix is the image of the crucified Christ, but he is the priestly crucified Christ, which is why he is vested in priestly vesture, which is there, Christ, the great high priest, who has passed into heaven, who is, as the author of Hebrews speaks about, Jesus Christ. So let us hold fast to him, our confession of faith. And so on a particular grace today is to read, to take during your prayer time, your meditation time, to read the book of Hebrews, which is all about Christ the priest, all about Christ and his priesthood, which is offered from among men, which is offered for men. So I want to give you a reading from Pope Pius XII, the saintly pope, Pope Pius XII, who, God willing, will be raised to the altars and recognized for his sanctity soon within our own day. He writes in his great work, Mediator Dei, which is written upon the liturgy, about the role that Christ plays as priest. Real quick, before I get into it, what is the role of the priest? What is the one thing that singles out the priesthood from every other office that could ever be held within the church? What is the priest ordained to do? He's ordained to do one thing. Even though he does many things, he's ordained to do only one thing. Do you remember what that is? What is the singular office of the priest, of the priesthood? That's right. It's not what Father is doing right now. So don't ever say the priest is there to preach. That's one of the lesser important things that he does. The priest is there for the specific purpose of offering sacrifice. That's why the priest exists, is to offer the sacrifice. So what does that mean? To offer the liturgy, which is not the people's work, as some heretical scholars will try to tell you that that's what the liturgy is about. It's not the people's work, but is rather the work which is offered on behalf of the people because they themselves cannot do it. You cannot do the liturgy. Rather, it is the work which is done on your behalf, which is why the priests offer it for for your sake, so that you might be sanctified and lifted up, as we spoke about earlier this week. So now here from Mediator Dei. The Pope writes, Christ is indeed a priest. However, he is a priest not for himself, but for us, since in the name of the whole human race, he brings our prayers and religious dispositions to the Eternal Father. He is also a victim, but a victim for us, since he substitutes himself for sinners. Now the exhortation of the Apostle says this, quote, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. This demands that all Christians should possess, as far as humanly possible, the very same dispositions as those which the Divine Redeemer had when he offered himself in a sacrifice. That is to say, they should, with a humble attitude of mind, offer adoration, honor, praise, and thanksgiving to the supreme majesty of God. Moreover, it demands that they must assume in some way the condition of a victim, that they deny themselves as the gospel commands, that freely and of their own accord they do penance, and that each detests and makes satisfaction for his sins. It demands, in a word, that we must all undergo with Christ a mystical death upon the cross, so that we can apply to ourselves these words of St. Paul, quote, I have been crucified with Christ. Words taken from Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. End quotation from Mediator Dei of Pope Pius XII. And so this is what we are entering into today. Sadly, in the United States, this feast was not extended to our calendar, but maybe one day we can get a good bishop who will recommend it to the U.S. bishops, and the better bishops of the United States will accept it and place it on the calendar so that we can focus as the whole of the church on this particular day on our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest in this universal way. Now, that is what Christ's role is for you and me. He is the priest in this way to offer himself as a sacrifice, that he doesn't offer it for himself because Christ needed no perfection within himself. He is the source of all perfection, and so his priesthood is something which he offers up for you and me as a victim. In fact, that is the reason why a priest really should, and the old way, which we have here, always presents for us, is that the priest physically must make contact with the altar. Physically must make contact with the altar when he is offering the sacrifice. He is to actually have his forearms or his elbows upon the altar itself, because in doing so, he is mounting the wood of the cross, laying himself as the priest and as the victim upon the altar, to have that physical contact is absolutely necessary to remind he himself that he is to be the priest offered on there, just as Christ is crucified upon the altar. And so bending low, he contacts the altar as he holds the species which are to become the sacred species in the host, the species which is to become the sacred species within the chalice which he holds there, and therefore mounting the wood of the cross makes himself a victim. But it's not something which is only the provenance of the ordained clergy. What Pope Pius XII is also wanting to extend is to remind that our model is to be just like Christ. As St. Paul says, take on the very mind of Christ. May the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you, because each of us who are baptized also share in a general way a priesthood in Christ Jesus, share in a general sense of that. And so we are to do the exact same thing with our own lives. Did you catch the five ways? I numbered them if you had your eyes open as I was reading them. The five ways in which you and I are to participate in priesthood. I'll review those for you again. He says this, that each of us should offer ourselves in sacrifice. That is to say, says Pope Pius XII, that we should, with a humble attitude of mind, just like Christ, offer first adoration, second honor, third praise, fourth thanksgiving. I guess there were just four of them. Four of those who were there. Offer these four ways. Adoration. What is adoration? But the very supplication of ourselves in bending low to God and recognizing His divine majesty with our physical bodies. So with our physical bodies, every time you enter into the church and you genuflect, that's adoration. Every time you kneel upon your knees in prayer, that is adoration. Every time you make the sign of the cross as you come into the church or do anything, that is an act of adoration. Every time you bow your head at the name of Jesus, every time you do any of these acts of your body, recognize the supreme great majesty of God, that is adoration. And so we are called to do that as a part of our role before God in sacrifice. Now to offer honor to Him. Offer honor to Him, which is meaning to make sure that you and I raise up Him up in dignity, to make sure that we lay ourselves low and speak about His goodness. We are to offer in the same way praise, to recognize His divine majesty in all those ways. Particularly, praise is something which is done vocally, with our own words, not merely with our bodies, but to let His praise be continually upon our lips, as the psalmist reminds you and I. And lastly, also to make a right and worthy thanksgiving, recognizing everything it is that He's done for us in its supreme spirit of gratitude for all that He's done for us in the past, all that He is doing for us even now, even if it's through this veil of tears that we struggle, and as well in thanksgiving, which is often the more important thing to do, for those things not yet seen with our eyes that we know the Lord wills for us and that He has in store for those who put their trust in Him. So is the demand which our Holy Father makes of us. And so in doing these things, Christ is the eternal High Priest for you and I. And so as we enter into these sacred mysteries, to let our Lord all the more overwhelm us with the supreme majesty that He condescends from His throne on heaven to take on flesh, and thereby become our great high priest. As the author of Hebrews says, we have not a great high priest who is unacquainted with us and so distant from us, but rather we have a priest who is like unto us in every way except one, which is sin. He is descended into the heavens, He who is Jesus Christ. And so to Him, let us hold fast this confession of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.